You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, everyone, to Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game commentary on your Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Spurts Talk 790, the team's official flagship. Today's episode is brought to you courtesy of our friends and partners over at MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and from there, MyBookie will match your initial deposit with up to a 50% bonus just by using that LOCKEDONNBA promo code. Well, it was a fun night at Toyota Center. Unfortunately, not a victorious night. Rockets fell to the defending champion Warriors 127-114. It's a loss that drops the Rockets to 27-10, snaps their two-game losing streak, puts them back to 1-1 without James Harden. It was a game in which ultimately I said it was very fun because, folks, the Rockets, boy, Chris Paul had 28 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. Eric Gordon had 30 on 12 of 24 shooting, also 7 assists. Clint Capela had 15-10, and of course, I'm burying the lead. Gerald Green, the sensation, 29 points off the bench, 9 of 16 shooting, including 8 of 15 from behind the arc. Just another incredible game for him. He's only been with the Rockets a week, but folks, we got the news after the game from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. As expected, the Rockets are going to guarantee his contract for the remainder of the season. He's here to stay, and the best part, not only is he producing, he's having fun doing it. You can see him throwing up the H. This is his home. This is his team. He loves it. He is embracing being a Houstonian, being a part of this team, of all teams. And not only is he, of course, doing the fundamental things right, like putting in the shots, but he is playing with an incredible amount of passion, and it's a joy to watch. And that's why the Rockets, they led at the half. They were up by 5 late in the third quarter. The game was there for the taking, even against the Warriors team that, while without Kevin Durant, you could say that somewhat offsets the loss of James Harden for the Rockets. But even so, the Warriors can just lean back on their core of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, the core of a team that won 73 games 2 years ago, the most in the history of the NBA, and won the title the year before that. And folks, even without Kevin Durant, it's a team that's absolutely loaded. And so even with a night that it felt like so many things went right for the Rockets, at least in terms of that big three, Paul, Gordon, and Green, your backcourt guys playing incredibly well, shooting about 50% combined from the field. At the same time, the Rockets just did not have enough firepower. The Warriors pulled away late with 65 points in the second half. And the Rockets, as well as they were shooting, again, 63 points in the first half, 37 in the first quarter. Ultimately, they couldn't keep up. Warriors improved to 31-8 on the year. Rockets fall to 27-10. And now, of course, Rockets are 2 games back in the loss column for the West's number one seed. And the season series is tied at 1. The final meeting between the two teams, Saturday the 20th of this month in Houston, will decide that tiebreaker. And if the Rockets have any dreams at all of making a run at the number one seed, I would say that's almost essential. Because in addition to losing James Harden, if you lose that game and the tiebreaker, essentially lose 2 games head-to-head against the Warriors this month, and the tiebreaker, which effectively makes it a third, that's far too much of a mountain to climb when you consider just the abundance of riches that the Warriors have with their depth of talent, which was on full display tonight. And folks, I know a lot of Rockets fans are frustrated because it's a game in which the Rockets did lead 90-85 late in the third quarter. It felt like it, you know, was theoretically there for them, but in reality, it's hard for me to get that upset about this. First off, I like the way the Rockets responded mentally. I think if they play with that level of edge, even without James Harden, they're going to beat most teams in the NBA. I like that they, every time the Warriors hit them with a run, they kept coming back. There were several times in the fourth quarter that the Warriors were pushing up to 10 or 12, and it felt like, okay, this is when the Warriors were going to fold, or the Rockets were going to fold, excuse me. The Warriors hit them with that punch, and every time, Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, it wasn't just the threes, they took it to the rim. They beat defenders off the dribble all night long. They were not afraid. They took it amongst the trees. They were trying to do everything they could to will the Rockets to that win. So it wasn't as if the Rockets quit. There were plenty of times when certainly they could have and said, hey, the Warriors are more talented. The Rockets kept coming. The mentality was there. That's why I'm not that frustrated about it, because ultimately if you get your pieces back, not just James Harden, but Luke Bamute, that's a big piece. And then, of course, PJ Tucker, who is just clearly not right at this point, in my opinion. Another scoreless game for him in 22 minutes. the Rockets to have any shot against the Warriors. They're not as good of a team as the Warriors from a talent perspective to begin with, but for them to have a real shot, it depends on the pieces fitting together in a very precise way, and of course the lottery ball of the three-point shot going their way. And I think there is going to be, by the way, a tendency to kind of overstate how good the Rockets were in this game. Because yes, the big three were there, and I like their mentality, but let's not make it seem like that the Rockets just shot out of their minds from three, and then even with that, they still couldn't beat the Warriors. No, the Rockets as a team were 17 of 50 from behind the arc, 34%. That's actually a little bit below average. Now, the volume seems okay because you make 17 of them, but 34%, folks, Trevor Ariza was 1 of 8, Ryan Anderson was 1 of 4, Eric Gordon was 2 of 9, P.J. Tucker and Briante Weber off the bench were 0 and 2 each. Gerald Green and Chris Paul each had good games, shooting 50% or above, Paul 5 of 10, Gerald 8 of 15, but the Rockets, they just don't have the firepower to keep up with the Warriors, especially when the Warriors are shooting the way they did tonight. 45% from behind the arc, 14 of 31, and then 55.7% overall. Klay Thompson, of course, was just special. 7 of 10 from behind the arc, 31 points. Stephen Curry, 4 of 10 from behind the arc, 10 of 20 overall, had 29 points. So between the two of them, that's 60 points for Golden State's Splash Brothers backcourt. And folks, if the game is about firepower, Golden State's going to win it. And that's essentially what this was. The good news, you know, it became somewhat of a transition fest. It became guard-dominated, and Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, Gerald Green, they held up their end of the bargain. It's just, unfortunately, the Rockets, unless they make a tremendous amount of threes, which, as explained, not enough of the Rockets did, they're just not going to have the power, the firepower, and it's really not fair to expect them to. Even if you take Durant off the Warriors, well, of course, you take Harden off the Rockets, and, well, you have three all-star, consistent all-star caliber players on the Warriors to just one on the Rockets with Chris Paul, although salute to Eric Gordon and Gerald Green, at least for one night, they seem to play close to that level. As far as long-term, what I take from this, the reason I'm not so down on it, yes, the defense was poor, but right now, the Rockets didn't have much of a choice. Because for the Rockets to beat the Warriors, it can't be just about firepower. Now, it can be a little bit about firepower. Certainly, as I've said a long time, you want the three-point shooters. You want their variability. And who knows, even tonight, if the Rockets make 20 of 50 threes instead of 17 of 50, that's 9 extra points, and maybe this game is right there in the final minute. You know, variability, the three-point game, firepower, that has to be at least part of the equation. But it can't be the entire equation because the Warriors are just too talented. And not only are they too talented, they have too much continuity. This is a group on top of having the core four, all the all-stars, the ridiculous abundance of riches. They've been together, that group tonight, without Durant, Steph, Klay Thompson, Draymond, Andre Iguodala, these are guys they've played together. This is their fifth year. And for the big three, Curry, Thompson, Green, they go back even further than that. So when you look at Golden State, it's not just the talent, it's not just the passing. They can beat you in ways that no other team can because in addition to the skills, there's so much continuity. Those guys, they know what the other is thinking at almost all times on the basketball court. And hopefully the Rockets can get to a point like that in subsequent seasons, especially if now with Chris Paul and James Harden, you have a core that you can build around. For the last few years, you haven't had that core, so you've had to kind of keep shuffling in the parts to try and get better. And kudos to Daryl Morey, he's done that. But what makes the Warriors special is not just the talent, it's the continuity. And so what you saw late in this game is, of course, they made shots. Of course, the ball movement was breathtaking, all that kind of stuff. But it's more than just the talent on the floor. It's the continuity that makes the Warriors special. And if the Rockets get in, you know, basically a firefight with them, just a shootout, then the Rockets, barring just an insane game from behind the arc, which they were okay, but nothing ridiculous, they're not going to win that. For the Rockets to play against a team in the Warriors that's that talented and has that much continuity, you have got to disrupt what they do. And the two guys that were brought here to do that were P.J. Tucker and Luke Bamute. And if you look back at that opening win at Golden State in October, both of those guys played 30-plus minutes. They're your two bigs. They can switch on everything. And P.J., in addition to, of course, playing 30-plus minutes, he scored 20 points, including the game-winning points, in the final minute of the game. Tonight, he only played 22 points. Minutes, did not even score, as mentioned earlier, and it continues just a poor run for him. Since December, he's shooting in the mid-30s from the field, and at that point, he's just unplayable. Now, maybe it's not his fault. There have been some whispers that maybe there's a little bit of an elbow injury. I don't know. It's possible there are extenuating circumstances for that, and certainly, he still brings you a level of toughness and physicality no matter what. But the bottom line is, if he's shooting in the mid-30s and is unable to score, then that puts you in kind of a quandary against a team like the Warriors that is this good offensively. And even though I wouldn't say PJ's been bad defensively, there has been some slippage from earlier in the year. And so you put these things together, and the bottom line is, with PJ not producing to where Mike D'Antoni feels he can play him more than 22 minutes, and with Luke Bamute still out for 3 weeks with that dislocated shoulder, the Rockets just do not have enough versatile options up front to turn to. We saw the first go-around with the Rockets and the Warriors. Clint Capela only played 18 minutes, and that was a little bit disappointing. Tonight, he played 28, and kudos to Clint, he did play better. Those 28 minutes, he had 15 points, 10 rebounds, 7 of 10 shooting. He did own those minutes in a way that he didn't really do, the first go-around. But as far as what that means for the Rockets and the Warriors, folks, you're not going to be able to play a traditional center against the Warriors for an entire game. It's just very difficult, especially when they go to that five-out lineup with Draymond Green, the lineup of death, even though I don't know if it's quite been that this season. I think we know it still can be. It can be a matchup nightmare based on the way that the Warriors like to play. And so there are certain limitations with your traditional bigs. So you need to be able to play small. Except for the Rockets, there's not that many options they can turn to. Ryan Anderson is not a great defensive guy in the first place, especially not with the speed and pace that you need against the Warriors. He was minus 12 tonight, shot just 1 of 4 from behind the arc. PJ Tucker, we mentioned him. Luke Bamute not being there. Folks, there are only so many options that the Rockets have up front. If you want to beat the Warriors, a team not just that talented, but that in sync, the chemistry on point, you've got to find a way to disrupt what they do. I thought the Rockets did it in stretches tonight. I thought the energy was there. I thought they wanted it. But ultimately, late in the third quarter, early in the fourth, when the Warriors finally got some real separation to stay, they were able to punish the Capela and Tarik Black lineups to the point where the Rockets felt like that those wouldn't really work. And that's not just about the Rockets. That the same thing happens against a lot of NBA teams. It's impossible to play with that level of traditional sets when the Warriors go to these smaller lineups. But the flip side is that, well, to do that, then you need disruptive players up front. PJ Tucker is not producing enough offensively to play him to the extent you did in Oakland in October, and even if he were, I don't think his defense is quite to that level either. Luke Bamute is out, and folks, no matter how hard the Rockets try, if they don't have those difference makers up front in PJ Tucker and Luke Bamute, it's just tough in this particular lineup against a Golden State team that has this many All-Stars, this many playmakers, and this much continuity. Yes, the Rockets' defense was not great. Apologies for misstating the score earlier. Final was 124-114, not 127. But folks, bottom line, 124 points. No, your defense wasn't good. But no, I don't think that the Rockets have anything to feel terrible about or hang their heads. They just got beaten by a better, more talented team. And the best way that they can combat that is to get guys who disrupt Golden State from getting into their flow. And the bottom line, for various reasons, partially injury, partially just ineffectiveness, and the latter the Rockets need to look into and see how they can best mitigate that. They just didn't have it tonight. And that, to me, is a leading storyline. You can feel good about it, but ultimately, big picture, PJ Tucker, Luke Bamute, those versatile guys up front that can switch on everything, that's the key to competing with the Warriors. Because without it, the Warriors will swing the ball, they will find the mismatch, and they will either get to the bucket inside or they will find the open three-point shooter where they are as lethal as any team in the association. So, we're going to talk more individuals in just a few moments. That was sort of my lead-off segment, talking about the two teams as a whole, where I think things are. But before I go any further, I do want to pause and acknowledge our wonderful sponsors over at MyBookie, because without their support, we would not be able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the only daily program covering your Houston Rockets from a daily podcast perspective. And while tonight was a light night around the association, this was a TNT Thursday, so there's only a couple of games going on. It's not going to be that way Friday. A lot of games going on around the NBA, and if you want to in on the action, then folks, I strongly urge you to go to MyBookie, because they're the best place that you can actually make some money off of your basketball insights. Hopefully you earn some from listening to me or other shows across this Lockdown Podcast Network. And well, besides just NBA, of course, they've got football and all the other sports covered too. It's a big weekend there, wildcard week in the NFL, and then the college football national championship game on Monday night. Lots of big games in the days ahead. And folks, if you want to get in on the action, go to MyBookie, because folks, a lot of these other sites, they give you the runaround when it's time for payout, but at MyBookie.ag, folks, you get paid ridiculously fast when you win, because they are your hookup for all of your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin. And folks, as I've always said, it's about not just where you bet, but who you bet on and where you bet. I trust them, but you don't even have to take my word for it. Check them out yourself. They've got odds on every matchup. They've also got in-game live betting, props, and the best part of all of this, if you use that Locked On NBA promo code, you can join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. So folks, it's really simple. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. And just use that Locked On NBA promo code to activate the offer. Folks, if you're going to bet this weekend on the NBA or on any of the big NFL games or the college football playoff, Alabama, Georgia, MyBookie.ag, that's the only place to do it. And of course, I strongly urge you, as always, to give our sponsors some love, use their products, give them some shout-outs on social media, because their support is the only way we're able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do. So the first segment, I spent a lot of time breaking down just the big picture, where I think these two franchises are and why I think the Rockets, even though giving up 124 points tonight, I don't really see it as necessarily a defensive indictment, or certainly not what I've seen on a few folks on Twitter, that the Rockets caved or didn't care enough. No, they won it. The Warriors are just a more talented team, and they're a more talented team with a lot more continuity, and ultimately over 48 minutes, that won out. And it is a harmful game, but it's one in which, you know, if you're realistic with the Rockets after the Harden injury and the five-game losing streak, as I said earlier in the week, number one seed was a little bit of a reach to begin with. So it's hard, in my opinion, to be that down on that. As far as the individuals, certainly Eric Gordon, Chris Paul, those are great signs. You expect it from Chris Paul. We've said earlier in the week that you're going to learn a lot about Chris Paul in this time without James Harden. Well, folks, tonight, 28-9-7, 5-10 from the field. This was elite Chris Paul. If you're wondering if he still has it in him, yeah, he absolutely does. And of course, 13 points in the 20-point win at Orlando on Wednesday night. He's got it. Eric Gordon, what's really telling about him, it's not just that Eric scored 30 points, it's that he did it even while shooting just 2 of 9 from 3. He didn't have his 3-point stroke, but with James Harden out, he did what the Rockets needed him to do. He drove to the basket, he was more of a creator. The last two games, Eric Gordon has 13 assists. He's averaging 6.5 per game. The 14 games prior to this stretch, he was averaging 1 assist per game. It's not that Eric Gordon can't pass, it's about the role that he's in. He is a capable passer if you need him to be. Now, certainly no one's going to mistake him for James Harden in terms of execution or his vision, but he is good enough to at least be that combo guard, and that's something that the Rockets, in the absence of James Harden and his playmaking, Gordon is proving a little more, I would say, viable than some folks thought in terms of easing that playmaking burden, especially with Chris Paul. You don't want to extend him too much. He played 36 tonight. I think that's probably, with a 32-year-old Chris Paul, the absolute maximum that you want to play him. So both of those guys, tremendous. But folks, this is Gerald Green's night, and this has been Gerald Green's week. And another 25-plus point outing. How many of these have there been for Gerald? He had 27 last night. I wanted to say 229 in a row, but no, 27, then 29. And then, of course, the Lakers, he only had 10, but that included the 3 to tie the game in the closing seconds. And then the Wizards game before that, he had 18. Just an incredible run for Gerald, in which, folks, with the Rockets, it's ridiculous. His 3s, 4 of 6, 2 of 4, 7 of 10, 8 of 15, just a legendary run. And it culminated after the game with a tweet from Adrian Wojnarowski confirming that, duh, the Rockets are going to guarantee his contract. The 10 days expire on Sunday the 7th, but there's no reason to even wait until then and make it seem like that this is some sort of debate. Folks, Gerald Green is here to stay. This is a guy who was a difference maker tonight on the floor with some of the best players in the entire NBA. He belongs, and folks, he can help the Rockets in a lot of ways. Right now, as I said, he's a shot in the arm. I don't know if he's going to shoot this well for that long. It would seem almost humanly impossible, but without James Harden in the short term, you need someone who just gets hot for 5 to 10 games, and that happens throughout a year. Maybe Gerald Green is doing that right now for you. Certainly, he was a big part of the wins Sunday and Wednesday against the Lakers and Magic, and he was a huge part of giving you at least a puncher's chance tonight against the Warriors. If that continues, the Rockets go on the road for a couple of games at Detroit and at Chicago, their next two, starting Saturday night. Then, yeah, he can be a big part of mitigating this hamstring absence for James Harden. By the way, salute to James Harden. In an NBA where a lot of guys, when they're hurt, would kind of rest at home or in the locker room. Credit to James for being on the bench and actually even on a bum hamstring, standing up, applauding. He was trying to will the Rockets to this game. He was trying to do all he could to coach, inspire, do whatever he could from the bench. Unfortunately, Warriors just too good. Credit to them. But yeah, but let's get back to Gerald. He's the story because, folks, it's not just that he's making shots. Boy, he's doing it with a smile on his face. This is his home. He's throwing up the H. He is a Houston legend, or at least he's becoming one right now. And it's hard to see him even exiting the rotation once everybody comes back. And that's what's really interesting to me about this. Now, as far as the move, the Rockets, they're waiving Bobby Brown, but according to Woj, they're looking to bring Bobby back once the, assuming he clears waivers, which I would highly, I think is very likely that Bobby clears waivers for the same reason that Gerald Green was sitting out there. There's just not much of a market in the NBA for veterans in their 30s with the Warriors as good as they are. Bobby would be eligible to return, although, interesting, it says, according to Woj, that there's no plan in place to do that at the moment, but at the same time, you have to think that with the Rockets having an open roster spot, it's certainly something that they could at least consider, unless there's somebody immediately on the horn looking to take that final roster spot. Anyway, that's really not the point, because Bobby Brown, whether he's here or not, this has not been a rotation piece for 99% of the year. What's interesting about Gerald is that, of course, now he's here for the rest of the year. Credit to him. He's playing incredibly well. Crowd at Toyota Center loves him. Houston guy. It's just a tremendous story. But let's talk big picture about what this means. Because, folks, with Gerald, yes, the hot shooting is going to subside. He's probably not going to shoot over 50% from three for the season as a whole. Let's be reasonable about this. This is a small sample. These little bumps do happen. At some point, he's going to come down to earth. However, what I think is proven, even before this year, he was a 36% career shooter from behind the arc. He is a good shooter. He does have athleticism. He is very comfortable in this system. He's obviously very confident on this team. He plays his butt off. Those things are not going to change. So even if the shooting cools down a little bit, folks, he still has things that make him a very viable contributor in this system. And what's interesting about this, we've talked for so long about the injuries, which the injury bug started to hit the Rockets early in December. But before that, and this was when the Rockets were in the middle of their 14-game winning streak, 20 of 21, the Rockets legitimately had a 9-man rotation. Even if we only count one of the centers, let's either Nene or Charik Black, whoever the backup is on a given night, you have your five starters, and then off the bench, you have Eric Gordon, you have PJ Tucker, you have Luke Bamute, and you have that other backup center. You are legitimately 9 deep. So at face value, Mike D'Antoni does not usually play more than 8, occasionally 9-man rotations his NBA career. I certainly don't think he's going to play 10. And that's not a criticism of Mike D'Antoni. It's tough for any NBA coach to make the math work, especially once you get into the playoffs. So, you know, you look at it, and it, at first glance, you say, well, it's kind of tough. Where does Gerald Green fit in? And the truth is, I don't know exactly where he's going to fit in. But what it could help you to do is give you options if your underachievers do not turn it around. As I've said, since the beginning of December, the variables for the Rockets that have taken a downturn are Ryan Anderson and P.J. Tucker. Ryan shooting in the mid-30s, P.J. shooting in the mid-30s. Ryan's been a little more active on the glass. P.J. gives you a little bit more in terms of D and just overall physicality. But bottom line is both those guys from the Rockets are at their best in November, 14-1, shot in the mid to upper 40s%. Since the beginning of December, that's over a month, they've been dreadful from the field. They need to turn it around. And then, of course, Luke Bamute, he was not shooting the ball great before he went on, well, not the disabled list, but before he went out with the dislocated shoulder. So he needs to prove he's healthy and then, of course, get back in the shooting form that he was in for most of this season. I think it's reasonable for all of those guys to turn it around, but those are a lot of ifs. And while I think the odds are in favor of each of those guys getting back to where they were early in the year, at the same time, they're not 100%. And if you say that, hey, maybe there's a 20% shot that Ryan doesn't turn it around, and there's a 20% shot that PJ doesn't turn it around or doesn't get healthy, and the same for Luke, then all of a sudden, even if those were only 20% chances individually, if all you have to do to kind of wreck your rotation is have one of the three happen, then the odds are a hell of a lot more than just 20% if it's three 20% shots. So just do the math. That's where, even though I don't necessarily see where Gerald Green fits in, it's not hard to imagine that even if the Rockets don't make another move, and yes, in theory, they could consolidate contracts in a deal by the February 8th trade deadline. We'll have to see what rumors pop up. That gives them some option, certainly having Gerald Green, that maybe you can package some guys together for an upgrade elsewhere. But even if you can't, even if you stay with what you have now, just the presence of Gerald Green gives you an ability to hedge. Now, certainly, I think the Rockets will probably give a longer leash to Tucker and Bamute than they would to Anderson, just because with the Golden State matchup in particular, as I said leading off, the Rockets are just so dependent on having Tucker and Bamute, their defensive flexibility, to at least somewhat disrupt the Warriors. They know that they can't just get in a shootout the way they did tonight. It's just not going to work out. You have to do something to knock the Warriors out of their preferred style. So they're probably going to give Tucker and Bamute first crack over Ryan Anderson, because they know in the grand scheme, with your toughest opponent, they're the most important. But at the same time, folks, beggars can't be choosers. You don't know which of those three, if any, aren't going to show up, and Gerald gives you a hedge. And even though Gerald's a guard and those are forwards, of course we know there's a trickle-down effect, especially because in the past, we all know good and well that Trevor Ariza can be a small ball four and a very effective one in today's NBA, especially in Mike D'Antoni's system. They haven't done it as much this year, but yes, it's an option, absolutely. So if one of those guys doesn't figure it out, then yes, you can insert Trevor in your 4 and 5 rotation against the Warriors, because you have Gerald Green to fill some of those minutes at the 3 spot, along with, of course, your regular backcourt when everybody's healthy of Chris Paul, James Harden, and Eric Gordon. So that's where Gerald Green comes in. Long term, is he... You know, maybe his production falls off, a la Marcus Thornton or some of the newcomers they've had in the past who have come out on fire, although I would say this far exceeds any of those. You know, I've seen some comps out there from the start that Brewer had, the start of Marcus Thornton. To me, I mean, this is 2 straight games which Gerald scored 28 points a game. This is ridiculous. But long-term, I don't know where he fits in, because we're not that far removed, just a month from when the Rockets had one of the deeper rotations in the league. They were legitimately 9 deep, and that's not even counting both Nene and Tarik Black. And all of those guys, I don't think went anywhere. It's just Ryan Anderson and P.J. Tucker, they're in a bit of a shooting funk, and Luke Bamute got hurt. But for a lot of reasons, those 9 don't look as strong now, and if any one or more of them don't get it back together, then that's where Gerald Green gives you options. I'm not sure exactly who he's going to replace, but folks, if he keeps playing like he is now, then yes, he's going to find his way in that rotation, and ultimately that's going to be a good thing for the Rockets, because it at least gives them some insurance. Because for the past month, we've just been saying for so long, Ryan, PJ, they have to turn it around, right? Luke Bamute, he's only supposed to be out 2 to 3 weeks. Well, tonight was 3 weeks. He has to be back soon, right? We assume that the answers to all of those should be, yes, inevitably they're going to shoot better, inevitably they're going to get healthy, blah, blah, blah. But what if they don't? Gerald Green at least gives you an answer if you're the Rockets. He gives you a viable option if one of those guys, for whatever reason, doesn't make it back. Is it enough to outright challenge the Warriors? I don't know. It'll depend on the exact configuration. And even if the Rockets have their ideal configuration, it's still going to take a hell of a lot of luck, because the Warriors are incredibly talented. Rockets probably need to shoot a little bit better than the 34% they did from behind the arc tonight. But Gerald Green at least gives you more options. He gives you flexibility. I couldn't be happier for the guy. Great human being. Great dedicated Houstonian. And, of course, a ton of fun to watch with his threes, his flying athleticism all over the basketball court. Couldn't be happier for him. And I also think you should be happy for the Rockets because, yeah, in addition to just having a good week, he's someone who can really, in my opinion, stabilize your rotation, not just in the short term without James Harden, but in the long term with some of the questions that have suddenly developed about some of these, I would say, fringe players, be it injuries or ineffectiveness, over the past few weeks. Final point of the program before I sign off, well, let's talk about the standings. This was a hit. It hurts, because certainly it's not a game you should really be disappointed with, losing to the Warriors, even without Kevin Durant. It's a loaded team. But I saw one of our listeners at the half who stopped me and introduced himself, and I told him that the Rockets were leading at the time, that if they could win this game, it was like a 3-game swing. And I mentioned this in the lead, because you would essentially be taking a game from the Warriors that I don't think any of us expected them to lose. You'd be avoiding a loss for the Rockets in a game that I think almost all of us expected them to lose. And you would have secured the tiebreaker. It was there for the taking. It's not now. And that stings, because with Harden out, you needed something like this, a surprise 2 or 3 game swing to really give you a shot at that number one seed, which big picture is probably your best shot for taking 4 out of 7 from the Warriors this season. Now, of course, the Rockets is not just about this season. Part of this stuff, you hope that if you're at least competitive with the Warriors in the playoffs, even if you don't win, you at least clearly have the foundation. You can build more pieces on that, cough LeBron James, and, you know, hopefully in addition to having overwhelming talent, start to earn some of the continuity benefits that you see teams like the Warriors have been able to have their core together for so many years. But this year, if you want to win a ring in June 2018, tonight would have been a hell of a shot to give you an unexpected and much needed, with James Harden's hamstring strain, boost, and you lost it. And even if it's excusable, even if there's a lot of other positives to take out of it, and as I've said, I loved how the Rockets kept fighting. I loved the chip on their shoulder, the edge. They took it right to the Warriors. I loved a lot of things. This hurts. Let's be real. This was a game that, even if it would have taken a little bit of luck, was there, and it was at home at Toyota Center. Rockets fans were great. Gym was lit, all that kind of stuff. It was there for the taking, and they didn't get it. And I can't blame those of you guys who don't want to see sunshine and roses, because when you look at where this team was just a couple of weeks ago after that crazy comeback against Utah, winning 14 in a row, 20 of 21, it's a bitter pill to swallow. But unfortunately, this is the NBA that we signed up for going into this year. Everybody knows just how insanely high that bar is with the Warriors. And the odds are over 82 games. At some point, it's going to catch up with you. That's what's happening with the Rockets right now. Hopefully, the Rockets can at least stabilize over the next couple of weeks without Harden, and then at least get yourself to a shot in the Western Conference Finals to where you get a chance against the Warriors, A, fully healthy, and B, in a smaller sample. Even if you don't have all, you know, home court, all the advantages you'd hope for, just get yourself there, get yourself healthy, and get yourself a shot in a smaller sample, 7 instead of 82, and who knows? The Rockets have actually shown in the last couple of years, they played the Warriors better in Oakland than they have in Houston. They've won a game in Oakland both this year and last year. They have not beaten the Warriors here in Houston. So who knows? Maybe with as many veterans as the Rockets have, home court advantage maybe isn't as big of a deal as we like to think it is, the popular theory that we have. Although when gems get as crazy as they are in May and June around the NBA, of course I'd rather have the home crowd on my side and working the officials and all the things that come with that. But the other side of this, it's not just about the one seed. To get to the Western Conference Finals, and you know whether you're the one or the two, you've got to get there. You need to take care of business those first two rounds, and the best way to do that is to secure the number two. And this has been a tremendous 2 days, even if the Rockets lost tonight, from that standpoint. I mentioned before the Orlando game, my podcast after the Harden injury, saying, okay, you got to turn your focus to the Spurs and Timberwolves now. Well, folks, the Rockets won last night. The Spurs and Timberwolves each lost, so the Rockets picked up a game on both of them then, and they're actually two unexpected losses, the Spurs to the Sixers, the Wolves to the Nets, I believe. Don't have that right in front of me, but both were favored, both lost. You picked up a game. Rockets won by 20, and even though you lost tonight, this is one that all of us have penciled as a loss going in, playing the Warriors without Harden, and of course, anytime the Spurs or Minnesota play the Warriors, odds are they're going to lose as well. So it's certainly not like you lost something in the grand scheme tonight. The bottom line is to beat the Magic by 20 on the road, to show the heart, to show the presence you did, to stick right with the Warriors for 3 quarters, to have it there for the taking. Folks, if the Rockets play like this, even without James Harden, they are going to be fine. They are not going to lose the amount of games that it would take to get the Spurs or Minnesota back in play. Because, folks, you look at the differentials. The Rockets are plus 8.1. The Spurs are plus 3.0. The T-Wolves are plus 2.6. That's an enormous gap, even if it's just 3 games in the loss column for the Spurs and 5 games for the Timberwolves. The Rockets are a clearly better team over the balance of the season. The only reason that you can argue otherwise is that if the 5-game losing streak that got over with late last week was more than just a temporary blip, or if the James Harden injury was just going to tank the Rockets' season. Well, folks, after last night and tonight, I think you should be pretty confident that neither of those two things is the case. The Rockets are not the team they were on that five-game losing streak. They are playing with a purpose. They are not waiting for the other shoe to drop. They are playing free. They are playing loose. They are enjoying playing together. They are not going through the motions. They are committed. Whatever was wrong with them from a mental standpoint, I think a lot of it was just rough luck from the way things ended in Oklahoma City and especially Boston, and just some tired legs in Washington, game three of a brutal three-game road trip. But whatever was going on, it's over. The Rockets are back. Even if they're not as talented as they once were, they are enjoying playing together, and it's still a plenty talented group. They're going to be just fine. And as far as the absence of James Harden, folks, Chris Paul and Eric Gordon are both stepping up in big ways. Gerald Green is filling a ton of those minutes, playing incredibly well. Trevor Ariza, tonight being, of course, a big exception, unfortunately, a 1-for-8 dud against the Warriors when you could have really used a big night from him, although he was at least capable defensively, and a night against the Warriors, you always need that. But folks, the Harden injury, the five-game losing streak, I am not anywhere near as worried about either of those things as I was a few nights ago. This Rockets team, I know it's a tough loss, and yeah, it hurts you for the number one seed, and that's big picture. When you look at where things were just a few weeks ago, that stings. But when you look at short-term, making the most of this season realistically, I feel a lot better about this team tonight than I did, say, 30 hours ago. And 30 hours ago, I might have said I expect the Rockets to go 1-1, but the way they went 1-1, to me, bodes pretty well. We'll see if it continues. The Rockets are next on the court Saturday in Detroit, and that's a pretty good team with a winning record. But if the Rockets bring this level of focus and energy, folks, I think with the balance of the Harden injury, they're going to be just fine. And I think their floor should be the number two seed in the Western Conference. So even if it's frustrating right now coming off a loss, I think big picture, there's still a lot to be proud of with this effort tonight, and I think what it bodes for the rest of this Rockets season. So I think I will leave things right there. As always, thanks to you guys, my loyal listeners, for tuning in. If you're not already following me or the show on Twitter, you can follow me at Ben Dubose, the show at Locked On Rockets, and also email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program for you, the diehard Rockets fan. Also, you can reach out to us about advertising inquiries via email. You can reach a very growing audience of largely 25 to 50 year old males and take advantage of our wonderful listeners, just as our sponsors at MyBookie have been doing for the past few weeks. And folks, remember, if you go to MyBookie.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, they will match your initial deposit with up to a 50% bonus. That's MyBookie.ag. Also, LockedOnRockets.com, that's the website. Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, that's our Facebook. We're going to have some Q&As in the next few days. So if you're not already checking us out on all our platforms, please do that as well. For now, my voice is about gone. I've had a rough week with a bit of a cold, but I'm trying to play through it. However, I'm going to get hydrated, having a good night's rest. Hopefully y'all do as well, because, well, it's Friday, it's the end of a week, so I hope everybody has a good one tomorrow. And I'm actually playing an interview show tomorrow to talk a little bit more about what we've seen, the X's and O's of the Rockets offense these first two games without James Harden. I think you guys will enjoy that. So for now, my voice is just about shot, so I'm going to sign off. Again, I'm Ben Dubose. This is Locked On Rockets. As always, thanks to you guys for tuning in. Unhappy final from Toyota Center. Warriors 124, Rockets 114. Rockets fall to 27-10 on the year, and now two games back of the Warriors for the one seed, but still three games up in the loss column on the Spurs for the number two. Until tomorrow, have a good evening, Houston, and we'll be talking again very soon right here on Locked On Rockets.